The road of life has many detours. A very personal story by Gisela Butler. The pickup truck came over the center divider and became airborne. I could see the wheels of the truck coming in my direction. I just said, "Oh my God, please." Instantly, I ducked towards the passenger side. Then I suddenly felt a sharp pain in my ribs. I lay there, in pain, going in and out of consciousness. That's all I remember. I later woke up as my clothes were being cut from my body. Lying on a gurney on my stomach, I figured I was at the hospital. Later, my husband came in. The doctor gave me morphine for my pain. I was not talking much, just sleeping a lot. Every time I woke, I was in lots of pain. Pain was my reminder that I was still alive. I knew I had been in a car accident, but had no idea how badly it affected me.
Appaloosa Radio Online, in collaboration with the Sacramento Suburban Writers, presents an original story by Gisela Butler. The Road of Life Has Many Detours. A Very Personal Story by Gisela Butler. It was a cloudy November day in 2017. As I awoke, I felt so good since I was having lunch today with two of my friends. One of my friends recently had a birthday, and we had planned to celebrate on this day. My beloved mother was on my mind every morning. After I read the newspaper, I usually called her every other day in Berlin, Germany. She was about to celebrate her 97th birthday. My husband and I planned on flying to Germany in a couple weeks to be with mother to celebrate her big day, our 40th wedding anniversary, and my husband's birthday all in the same month. I purchased the plane tickets and also had a hotel booked that was within walking distance to my mother's home. Another special treat, we would spend time with my twin brother and his family. Chatting away on the phone this morning with Mutti, German for mom, I mentioned to her, "I don't have very long to chat. I have to get ready for my lunch date." Her comment was, "You are always too busy, and you have too many engagements to go to, so stay home once in a while." I was getting upset with her and told her in a nice way that I had to go. We both hung up. My heart was beating fast. Mutti often has something to say, like mothers do. 1 hour was all I needed to get ready. I wore a brand new knit jacket, cut off the price tag, looked in the mirror one more time and said goodbye to my husband. I never made it to the restaurant on that special day. As I drove down a big boulevard, almost halfway to my destination, a pickup truck came down the street from the opposite direction. On this nice broad boulevard, there was a center divider with large boulders and oak trees. The truck came over the center divider and became airborne. I could see the wheels of the truck coming in my direction. I just said, "Oh my God, please." Instantly, I ducked in my car towards the passenger side. Then I suddenly felt a sharp pain in my ribs. I lay there in pain, going in and out of consciousness. That's all I remember. I later woke up as my clothes were being cut from my body. Lying on a gurney on my stomach, I figured I was at the hospital. Later, my husband came in. The doctor gave me morphine for my pain. I was not talking much, just sleeping a lot. Every time I woke, I was in lots of pain but got medication immediately. Pain was my reminder that I was still alive. I knew I had been in a car accident but had no idea how bad it affected me. My husband was there in ICU almost all day. Tests over tests were done. I found out that I had 3 concussions, 3 broken ribs, a broken collarbone, 4 tendons in my right hand were severed, and my lung was punctured. Later that day, my friends came to visit, but I don't remember them being there. It was the two gals that I was supposed to have lunch with. When they saw me, I was not injured on my face, thank God. But I had my right hand in a cast, a black ring around my whole neck from the seatbelt, and a black eye. I don't remember much about the first few days in the hospital. I had other visitors but could not remember who came. Everything was in a haze. I had to have help to go to the bathroom, and the pain was with me all the time. Getting in and out of bed was very painful, and it took a long time with help of a nurse. A breathing tube was attached to my left shoulder. All the staff was very nice to me, except one. She was sometimes short. When I called her, she would say, "What now? You have to try on your own a little more every day." I said, "I can't. I have a short tube attached behind me." "Oh my goodness, I am so sorry." She felt bad. Next day she would say the same thing. "You have to do baby steps." And we had the same conversation. I think she had too many patients to look after. Every movement in my neck, ribs, and my hand hurt like heck. The medication helped me somewhat, but not all the way. Much later, my friends told me their stories. On the Wednesday of our lunch date, I did not show up. My friend Dottie said to my other friend Sally, "Why is Geezy so late? She is always on time." Sally and Dottie knew better. Dottie called my house, and my sweetie answered the phone. "Oh well," he said, "she should be there any minute." My husband knew I left some time ago and felt uneasy. He called the police department and found out that there was a major two-car accident and a Honda CR-V was involved. I drove a Honda CR-V. My husband hung up and drove hastily to the hospital. He knew the news was not good. By then, my friends could hear the fire department's sirens in the restaurant. The street was blocked for 6 hours that day after the accident. We found out later that the truck that hit me was driven by a 22-year-old man, and alcohol was on his breath. He had a passenger with him, but we still had not received any info from the police. It was still under investigation. Everyone was very tight-lipped. My Honda was a total loss. I loved this car. It was my car. Family, friends, and neighbors came to see me to wish me well. I was delighted. I dozed off here and there as they visited, and I can honestly say I don't remember who came. Some faces were familiar to me, but friends would say, "I came to visit you." After 9 days in the hospital's ICU, I was whisked away to a recovery nursing home where I was to stay for 2 weeks. An ambulance took me there. The male nurse who was with me in the ambulance was a funny guy. He asked me, "Do you want to hear the siren?" I said, "Oh, I don't care." So, the driver took that for a yes, and the sirens blared in the night air. It was very loud. My hubby was driving behind the ambulance. I was checked into the nursing home around 10 p.m. A 92-year-old lady shared the room with me. The room was so hot I could barely manage. I asked the nurse to turn the room heater off and was told that the lady is old and needs the heat. I was very uncomfortable and trying to get some rest in this hot room. The nurse had not given me medication at all. I rang the bell, which was located over my bed, an easy-to-reach control. I rang the bell over and over again, but no one came. I was in such pain, twisting and sweating. It must have been around 2 in the morning. I did not want to make too much noise, because it would wake my roommate up. Finally, a male nurse came and saw me wrestling with pain and brought me my medications. It was still torture trying to sleep in this oven of a room. The next morning, I was greeted by the old lady. She said, "I hope it was not too warm for you." I just smiled. We talked a bit, and I found out that she had been there for a few months, and that her daughter had cancer and not long to live. I felt like crying. Life can be so sad. "No one comes to visit me anymore," she said to me. My daughter, my son-in-law, and my granddaughter came for a visit at the home. My husband was already there with me. My family noticed the hot room and looked over to the lady and knew her dilemma. The elderly people during the day smiled and were friendly when passing by my room, waving me welcome. I had my first shower at this place. My nurse was very pleasant, and I felt at ease as she cleaned me. I am uncomfortable when it comes to being naked around anybody, when it is not my husband. After my wonderful shower, a young physical therapist came and asked me what my pain level was. He was sweating too, and told me that I should be at home. It would be a better recovery than at this place. I wholeheartedly agreed with him. I missed my home and my bed. I could not stay any longer in this place. I was so afraid of the hot nights. The night nurse, who was in charge, was a silly-looking woman who looked like a witch with messy black hair. She was unfriendly, not just to me, but to all the patients. I had met her early on with my request to be moved to another room. She was very short with her answer. No. We have no other availability. Later, my husband mentioned to her, "We are leaving this facility." My son-in-law wheeled me to the front door. She told me, raising her little pointer finger at me, "If you leave, you are going to die at home because your lung is punctured and you don't have an oxygen tank at home. You will die because you can't breathe." She said it over and over again. We left anyway. I was somewhat worried because my lungs still hurt when I took a breath. I took the chance. I left the nursing home that night after staying a little over one day. Saying goodbye to the elderly lady, we wished each other well. It was so wonderful being home again. My husband put me to bed. I had lots of pain pills on hand. Every 4 to 5 hours, I was ready for less pain. I slept a lot during my days in bed. My friend Dottie came almost every day. She brought food for us, ready to heat in the oven. We could manage that just fine. Christmas was now around the corner. The hardest task was to let my mom know what happened to me, and that we could not come to Berlin as planned. She was so sad and concerned. Thank goodness my oldest son speaks German very well and could explain everything to her. All our happy plans were now up in the air. Talking about air, I only received one airline ticket refund. The other one is still on my Visa card. Visa is arguing with the airline since they figured my husband could have flown. But he does not speak the German language, and he had to be with me, his injured wife. I had a letter from the hospital stating that there is no way for me to fly because of my injuries. The airline was okay with that, but I still owe the airline ticket for my husband, for the one flight. The airline had 10 days to sell my two tickets. Oh well, I am alive. I am so thankful to God that I had guardian angels around me. I had days where I felt sorry for myself and cried a lot. The why me syndrome. I was getting better slowly. A physical therapist came to my home almost daily, and a nice man and two young girls helped me with my hand and shoulder. I have forgotten a lot. At one time, I could not remember my grandson's name. I think through time, my memory will come back. 1 month later, the police called us, asked that we pick up our belongings from our Honda. The cop said, "Leave your wife at home. It is a sad mess with glass and blood all over." I drove with my husband in his car and wanted to see all the damage that stupid guy did to my beloved Honda. Oh boy, it was a mess. The police officer explained how it all happened. The guy landed on top of my car somehow, turned around on top of my vehicle, and landed behind me. His truck looked like a convertible. Around that time, we found out which fire department saved me. I had to be cut out with the jaws of life. We found the station and brought these guys Christmas cookies and my book, My Flight to Freedom, as I am also a writer and wrote my memoir. The firemen just came from grocery shopping with their big fire truck. My husband, Gary, and I were sitting in their kitchen. A lady let us in. They just looked at one another and had no clue as to why we were there. I then got up and said, "I am here to thank you so very much for saving my life." It was on November the 8th. I stood there, tears running down my cheeks. I had all the attention from the 7 firemen. One young man came up and hugged me and stroked my hair. "Oh my God," he said. "I was the one who cut you out. I can't believe that you are standing here in front of me. You were in a coma when I got to you. I had the grim thought that you would not come out alive." All the firemen hugged me, and some even hugged my husband. We took a picture of us all in front of the fire truck. Next to me was the fireman who carried me out of my car. They wished me well and were so pleased that we stopped by to thank them. They are my heroes. It has now been 3 months since my accident. I have a hard time coping with my husband's driving. The angst I feel about getting in another accident was so real for me that I'd rather stay home. My right hand is healing, and after a while I began driving my husband's car, only with him next to me. I am still very nervous sitting in the car. Everyone drives way too fast for me. Slowly, my life continues. It is still not perfect, but is getting better with each day. I have to take a pain pill every now and then. One day, we went shopping for groceries, and one of the lenses fell out of my glasses. The following day, we went to the optometrist to have my glasses repaired. Gary opened the door to the office, and I had a different feeling, almost a warm feeling coming into my body. The girl in the office said, "Hi, I will be right with you." She looked up, and our eyes locked. She made a sound and said, "Oh my God, it is you." She came running around her long desk and had her arms wide open to hug me. She was crying and sobbing and said to me, "Do you remember me?" I said, "No, should I?" She uttered again, "You don't remember me?" "No," I said lovingly, a bit confused. "I was there when you had the terrible car accident. I was on my lunch break and the accident already happened. I parked my car on the side of the road and ran to your car. You lay, injured in your car, to one side. Your hand was bleeding badly, and I told you, keep your arm up. Blood was gushing out of your right hand. Your jacket was already soaked with blood. Then I yelled to one of the young men standing there and watching, 'Give me your t-shirt, I need it now.' I wrapped the shirt around your hand and told you, please, please, keep your arm up high. She then said to me, 'Can you remember you were asking me, am I going to die?' I told you, 'No, hun, you just had a fender bender. Just keep your arm up high. The fire department is on its way.' That is what I told you." I suddenly remembered fender bender. My memory came back all off a sudden, and I remember asking her, "Am I going to die?" To my surprise, these words all came back to me. I started to relive all this again in this short moment. I shook and cried and held this girl real tight. We both were crying. It was very emotional, and we held on to each other. I have known Kathy, the other girl in the office, for many years. Kathy has worked for this optometrist forever. She came running to us and cried with us. I found out the name of the girl who came to help me. Her name is Linnell. She had mentioned to Kathy back in November, when the accident happened, that she saw a horrible car accident. "Sorry I am late, but I helped this poor lady who was lying in her car." Linnell told Kathy, "The lady had long blonde hair, and I think she is a patient of ours." Kathy figured it could have been me, since I have a German accent, but my hair was always short. Gary was amazed to see our connection playing out in front of him. Kathy had been afraid to call my husband to find out if I was alive. Linnell told Kathy, "I think all three people are not going to make it." The more Linnell talked, more of the features of her face came to my mind. It is unbelievable how my mind worked. It was in my subconscious, and it felt like peeling an onion. I remembered that her face was very close to mine when I had the accident. I remembered her soft, calming voice saying to me, "You were in a fender bender." That clicked my memory, and her face came back to me. This wonderful young woman stayed with me when I was so alone and thought I was dying there in my Honda, with without Gary or my kids knowing what happened. Her voice gave me hope as I went in and out of consciousness. The awful pain in my ribs made me drift into darkness. I was lying on a gurney as my clothes were being cut from my body. I was in the hospital. Then blackness again. I could not breathe. My ribs felt on fire. I kept my cut-off clothes and my brand new jacket I wore in a plastic bag in my garage. On Valentine's Day, I went back to the optometrist to see Linnell and Kathy. My surprise to Linnell was my memoir, My Flight to Freedom, and I bought a special gift certificate for her. My new friend is Linnell. We hugged again and have established a connection that is wonderful. Linnell is my angel since she was there for me. Kathy insisted on buying my book, so I made a sale too. I want to thank so many people, including Dottie and Doug, Thea, Sally, Sherry and John, Mort, and so many dear friends from my writer's club, plus the people in Germany too, with all their well wishes. Thank you for reading my story. It helped me to write about this, because not too many people recover from one of these accidents. It is still hard for me. Will I ever be the same? I asked my husband many times with tears running down my face. Give it 6 more months to 1 year. You will be back the same, was my husband's answer. It has been over 1 year since my accident. All is settled and life goes on. I will always have pain in my shoulder, neck, and lower back that I have to live with for the rest of my life. But I am alive. I received all the monies from the airline. I hope the young man who hit me learned through his mistakes. A jail sentence will await this guy. He could have killed me and his passenger through his action. I am so very thankful to God, to the fire department, and to this young lady who were there for me when I needed someone so desperately. Appaloosa Radio Online, in collaboration with the Sacramento Suburban Writers, presents an original story by Gisela Butler